Jim Elliot was one of five missionaries who in the 1950s travelled to Ecuador to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the Orca Indians. On the 8th of January 1956, the five men were murdered by those they were trying to reach. The watching world in the West called it a nightmare of tragedy. Jim Elliot's wife, Elizabeth, wrote, "The world did not recognise the truth of what Jim used to say. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Do we agree with the world, or do we agree with Elizabeth? Was Jim Elliot's murder a great tragedy, or was it gain? We all know something of the blessing that comes through loss, don't we? Every time we give a loved one a present, we lose something. The present, the money it cost. But we gain so much more, experiencing their joy, the pleasure of giving. Today we're going to see the principle behind the present, gaining through losing. It's exactly what drove Jim Elliot. It's what drove Jesus. And it's what Jesus says must drive every follower of his today. This is the second in a series of three talks with the theme, Responding to Our Generous God. We saw last week, God is an awesome, overflowingly generous God. He forgives the great and many sins of those who trust him. His generosity breaks all bounds of human understanding. We cannot outgive God. Today, as we think about our vision for the year ahead, we're thinking about how we respond to this generous God. And he's going to let us in on a secret, perhaps the best kept secret of Christianity. It's a secret that our 24/7 fast food, quick gratification culture does not understand. A secret many of us don't understand. And the secret is this. God has endless good things for his people. And he gives them to us by his grace, his undeserved favour. But the way he does it, often, is by causing us to die to self. We discover life by dying. Just as the person who gives a present understands, just as Jim Elliot understood, this is the secret of Christian discipleship. We've got one point from the passage, and then we'll think about our vision for the year ahead. Here's our point. Discipleship, according to Jesus, die to self to find true life. Die to self to find true life. Jesus is with his disciples, and he asks, "Who do the crowd say I am?" They reply, verse 19, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." They say you're a prophet, Jesus, someone sent by God with an important message. Then Jesus asks the key question, the question each of us is asked every week as we meet him in his word. What about you? Who do you say I am? I wonder how you'd answer. Peter answers, "You're God's Messiah, God's anointed King." Correct. Well done, Peter. But have you understood why I've come? Have you understood what it means to be the Messiah? He goes on, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Many will know Son of Man is a title used in the book of Daniel of a man who comes in great power and glory before God the Father, and he's given power and authority to rule over the nations. And this is what Peter expected when he said, "You are the Messiah." But he wasn't expecting this. The Son of Man must suffer and be rejected and killed. And only then will he be raised to life. And there's more. Just as it is for Jesus, the Christ, the Son of Man, so it must be for his followers, verse 23. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." To take up your cross in Jesus' day was to know you were going to die. Jesus says his followers must daily make the decision to deny self and to die. Now, he's obviously not talking about literal death, because we don't die physically every day, we die once. He's talking about dying to self, dying to our worldly desires, our earthly longings. But why? Why would we do that? Well, he goes on, verse 24, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." Jesus says God's way of doing things, God's economy, is not like our economy. In our way of thinking, we need to store things up to protect ourselves, to indulge our desires, to discover our true selves. That's the world's message, isn't it? Hang on to life. Hang on to what you consider precious. Discover yourself. Look after number one. Indulge your desires, because if you don't, no one else will look out for you. Jesus says that's exactly wrong. He might have added, because we don't in our sinful state know what's good for us. We long for things that are bad for us. The exact opposite is true. As we give up our worldly desires, as we give up the things we treasure, as we give up who we think we are, that's when we find true life. Life in the present, as we discover a richness and blessing the world knows nothing about, and life in eternity, which is far more wonderful than anything this world has to offer. Die to self to find true life. And you see, this isn't really about sacrifice. Well, it is, but it's about sacrificing something tiny for something massive. Sacrificing a shiny new £10 note for a treasure chest filled with £20 notes. It's about us understanding God's economy. God has great riches stored up for us. But the way we discover those riches is as by the Spirit working in us, we die to self. Jesus says elsewhere, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Do you see? As we give things up for Jesus and the gospel, we gain 100 times as much. But here's the problem. We cannot experience this life until we've died to self. And so we have to step out in faith, trusting Jesus' word, that as I die to self in resisting a particular temptation, so I'll find life, an experience of closer fellowship with my Heavenly Father. Trusting that as I die to self by speaking up to someone about my faith, I'll find life, the joy many of us find wells up as we speak of Jesus. Trusting that as I die to self by giving more money to Christian work than I think I can afford, I'll find life. That as it says in 2 Corinthians, God is able to bless you abundantly. And certainly that's been my experience. We have to step out in faith, and we find that hard. But isn't it evidence of a living faith in Jesus? We say we're trusting in Jesus, and I hope we are trusting in him for our forgiveness. But if we're trusting in him for forgiveness, we will also trust him in this. Discipleship according to Jesus, die to self to find true life. We're going to go on to think about the vision for the year ahead in a moment, but before we do, I'd like you just to turn to your neighbour and chat with them for a couple of minutes. Two questions. How are you feeling right now? And do you believe that we find true life by dying to self? Just turn to your neighbour for a couple of minutes. So Jesus has established a principle for us. Die to self to find true life. What does that mean for us in the year ahead? Just as a reminder, our vision as a church is that we are a Christ-centered community existing to spread a passion for Jesus Christ in the Allenby communities and beyond. And we've been using the image of the vine growing in maturity and size, bearing fruit. And this time last year, we spoke about 3 ways in which we'll seek to do that. Make disciples who make disciples, send disciples to bless the Allenby communities, and resource mission in West Hull. And just on that last one, you may remember this slide that shows that there are 13 parishes in Hull in which between 1 and 8 people in every 1,000 attend their local Anglican church. And the non-Anglican churches don't improve the situation much. The situation in Allenby and Hull is catastrophic. Countless people who, in terms of what Jesus says in today's passage, are seeking to save their lives and will lose them, seeking to gain the world and yet forfeiting their souls. We are deeply concerned about this, and we are determined to play some part under God in alleviating the spiritual suffering. So we intend to work with other gospel-centered churches to plant new churches across the city. But if you look around, you'll see that we're not in a position to do that yet. And so this year, we'd like our focus to be make disciples who make disciples. How can we help each other live as disciples of Jesus? How can we help each other make disciples? So there'll be particular things we'll do as a church family. So we'll think together about how our church culture can be more focused on being and making disciples. It's easy to say that's what we're about, isn't it? When in practice, our focus might be on other things, social life or having our buildings in a particular way or being comfortable. I'm sure we could think of other examples. Well, the ministry team are going to work through a book together, The Vine Project. And we've invited church council members and life group members to join us. And tomorrow evening is the first meeting, so do speak to me if you'd like to come. And the ministry team will then feed back to the church councils, to our monthly church family night, and from time to time to our Sunday gatherings. And I believe also that a WhatsApp group has been set up for people who want to read the book but can't come to the meetings. Do speak to Liz Telford if you're interested in that. We're also hoping to equip more people to serve God in the areas he's calling them to. That's with a particular focus on preachers, musicians, and church leaders. And if you feel you'd like to be involved in a particular area of church life but don't know how, then do speak to me. And we've come up with a little motto for us as a church family for this year. In Christ, we can do that. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's a lot of negative thinking around Hull. I can't do that. I think the City of Culture has helped with that a little bit, but it's easy for that negative thinking to seep into the church, when in fact, in Christ, we can do that. Whether that is reading the Bible on our own, or coming to the monthly church family night, or as a church family taking on some great task that God has set before us. We have the Holy Spirit. God has given us all the people, all the gifts we need to do what he wants us to do. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And if you look at the vision leaflets you were given a couple of weeks ago, you'll see other things we'd love to do, if money allows. So paying a bookkeeper to maintain the finances at St. Peter's, and I'm delighted that Catherine Long has been able to start doing that for us. Continuing to employ ministry trainees. It's great that Ben Wood's going to be with us for another year, and we'd love to find more. Possibly employing a children's and youth worker, and possibly a buildings manager. We'd love to develop the St. Peter's Church building, and we need desperately to repair the front of the St. Mark's Hall. So those are the things we're hoping to do as a church family. But there are also things we can do as members of the church family. And I want to focus on that as we close. We've seen Jesus' teaching about discipleship, haven't we? Die to self to find true life. And the basic question that we asked is, do I believe I must die to self to find true life? But if I do, the next question is, well, what does that look like for me? Many of us will have heard of Rico Tice, the evangelist who wrote Christianity Explored and Life Explored. I heard Rico speaking recently on sharing our faith, and he talked about crossing the pain line with our friends, just taking one step beyond what is comfortable and seeing what happens. Maybe dropping into conversation, oh, I was at church on Sunday and such a thing happened, or this is what the speaker said. It's crossing the pain line because it's uncomfortable. But then you discover there's blessing. You discover joy in being open about your faith, and maybe the person you're talking to even shows an interest. And my point is this. We die to self by crossing the pain line in different areas, trusting God that there will be life and blessing as a result. And I constantly discover that. I cross the pain line, and I look back and discover it wasn't a pain line at all. It was a blessing line. So I've got five areas for each of us this year to die to self by crossing the pain blessing line. And many of us are already doing some or all of these, and that's great. We're already experiencing the blessing that results. And we can't do them by ourselves. We need God's help. We need to pray for grace and strength. We need encouragement for others. And we will fail regularly. And when we fail, we know we're forgiven. But here they are, five areas, each beginning with the letter G. So first, growing. How will I grow in my faith in the year ahead? What's the next step? What's the pain blessing line for me? Maybe it's getting up 5 minutes earlier to read the Bible every day. Maybe it's joining a life group. Maybe it's meeting with another Christian every couple of weeks over coffee or a beer to talk about our Christian lives. And as I do that, I'll discover there's great joy in experiencing closer fellowship with God. The second area, godliness. Is there an area of my life where I need to grow in godliness? Am I struggling with anger or lust? Or am I finding it hard to relate to a particular person or to forgive someone? Will I commit to praying about it? Will I tell someone and ask them to help me? And will I trust that as I do that, I'll experience greater joy and blessing? The third area is gathering. Will I commit to gathering with God's people? And for some, that might mean committing to meet on Sunday every week without fail, unless something utterly unforeseen happens, putting everything else second to that. For others, it might mean deciding to come to the church family night, where once a month we gather to share news and to pray. For others, seeking God's help to be a positive influence in conversations at church, speaking the truth in love to other people. Fourth, there's going. That is, looking outwards, sharing our faith, praying for others. For some of us, that might mean praying regularly for a couple of friends or family members that they would want to know the reason for the hope we have. For others, inviting someone to an event or a few events. For others, it might mean joining a group in the community where we can intentionally meet non-Christians and share our faith with them. And then the final area is giving. And I've been a bit naughty here because this goes in two parts. There's giving our time by serving in an area of church life, and there's giving our money to the work of the churches. Time and money are vitally important to us, aren't they? I've heard it said that you can tell a person's priorities by looking at their wallet and their diary, or their phone, you might say. And we'll only give of our time and money if we really believe we must die to self to find life. So, discipleship according to Jesus, die to self to find life. And when we fail, which we will and do, we look to Jesus. And when our faith needs strengthening so we can die to self, we look to Jesus. Let's close by looking to Jesus, who, as Paul tells us in Philippians, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, even to death on a cross for our sins. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place. He raised him from the dead. He raised him to his right hand. He gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You've got a handout with the five areas of growth, the five G's. Do take that away, and maybe sometime today have a pray and a think about what is the pain blessing line for you in each of those five areas. And do share that with someone else if that would be helpful for them to encourage you. Let me pray.